The following podcast is sponsored by Crystal Glass, where windshield replacement and automotive glass repair has been a specialty for over six decades. Call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. This is Gross Misconduct.
Episode 18 of Gross Misconduct feels like 19. We're calling this one Unsolved Mysteries. You'll see why as the podcast unfolds. I wanted to let you know that I got an email from Buzzsprout. And of course, you know, Buzzsprout is the company that hosts our podcast. And anybody who's listening to the podcast through Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or iTunes or however, they are downloading it from Buzzsprout.
Okay.
So among the things Buzzsprout does is they give suggestions to podcasters like you and I as to how we can make our podcast better. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if episode 18 is the right time to be.
Maybe you should have researched this before episode one.
Possibly. But it turns out we're doing a lot of things right, which is great, according to them. However, one thing apparently we've been doing wrong is that for those individuals who might have found our podcast serpentitiously, is that a word?
Serpentitiously.
Is that not a word? No. Super, if they just tripped across it.
Serendipish, no. So if there's serendipity.
Okay,
serendipitously.
If you happen to find it, like let's say you live in Brazil or Ecuador or possibly you're in the European Union, wherever you are and you found us, you may not know who we are.
You're going, who are these people?
Right. And now I always introduce myself, but apparently within the first 60 seconds, you're supposed to give a new listener an idea as to why they might want to listen.
Okay.
So my name is Andrew Gross, and I'm a comedian in Edmonton, Canada, and have been for 30 years. And I started a podcast after leaving talk radio, where I worked for 7 years, or nine, depends on whose lawyers you talk to. And I'm joined by my co-host, Carol McElvride Gross, who is the executive director of the Edmonton Comedy Festival here in Edmonton, Canada. And what else are you?
I'm a mother.
You are a mother.
I'm a pet parent.
Yeah. You're the supervisor of a bird sanctuary?
Yes, it's going very well.
Well, for the birds.
Quite happy. Oh, yeah, they're going to be fat and chubby come winter.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm a jack of all trades.
Yes, you are. You're a Mr. You're a Miss Fix-It.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with a fixer-upper, you are...
Well, that's debatable, especially after lockdown.
You handle a lot of the chores around this place.
Yeah.
Well, you hesitated because you're thinking, and I've known you for many years, I handle all of the chores around this place.
Well, I mean, I've forced you to be in charge of the garbage.
And I'm loving the task, to be honest with you.
But yes, I do everything else. Yeah.
All right. So that's who we are and what we do.
And we're funny. So you should listen to us because we're funny.
Yeah. We're a little
informative.
Sure. We do some politics. We do some slice of life. We tell some personal stories. Mm-hmm. There's some laughs along the way, I guess. Or
I don't know.
I feel like I've raised the bar so high now that we can't. So I was in Winnipeg last week at the Rumors Comedy Club out there. And I did want to mention that I was concerned, as you know, I was actually having a bit of a panic attack on the way to the airport. And you were telling me to calm the fuck down. I haven't been on a plane in a while. I haven't, you know, performed seven shows in 5 days at a club that I haven't been to in 18 years. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just, I don't know, I just...
It was a lot.
It was a lot, and it was a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I've made no secret of the fact that I do, from time to time, suffer from panic attacks. So I could feel that one welling inside of me, and it wasn't abated by the new procedures at the Edmonton Airport. So I went through security pretty normally, and then went to the gate where I thought my plane was leaving from because I had checked in 24 hours earlier and it had given me the gate. And when I checked my bag, there was no mention of the gate changing or anything, but apparently it had. And I guess if I'd have checked my app, I'd have known that. But I'm a gate, I believe,
three. Don't they make an announcement?
Yeah.
Over they,
Maybe they did.
Okay.
I was 93 gates away from where I needed to be. So at the time of boarding, obviously, I looked up and went, okay, well, this flight should be boarding. And then I got a notification, it is boarding, but I'm the only one at the gate. So I'm like, okay, well, clearly I'm at the wrong gate. So then I realize I'm 93 gates away. So now I sprint. And I mean, I've been described as many things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Many things.
Sprinter, not one of them.
Sprinter, not one of them. That never makes the top 20. But I tried. And keeping in mind, I've been in basic isolation for 4 months. So I've done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So as out of shape as I was in the before time, in the now time, it's just ridiculous. So I ran through the airport, mask on,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, suit bag and carry on knapsack. And I arrived at gate 96, where we were departing from. And by the time I did, everyone was on board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now fat guy, sweaty fat guy, sweaty out of breath fat guy, panicking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looking disoriented, just... I am, if you were to look up COVID in the dictionary, my picture would be there. So I look like I could drop at any moment, which is probably pretty accurate. And when I get to the gate, the nice WestJet lady, she's like, hi, you must be Andrew. And I'm like, yes. And she goes, okay, piece of ID, boarding pass, and we now check for temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, how hot am I right now? And not in a good way.
I know, but I don't think that raises your core temperature, does it?
I don't know how it works. I don't know.
People have not answered these questions because I've asked about the hot flashes. I need a doc. Yeah, oh, Dr. Tony. I should get Dr. Tony.
We'll be seeing him this weekend, so we'll ask that.
We can ask him.
So they put a gun to your head. It's a thermostat. It's a thermometer gun of some sort, which I'm to this day not sure it had batteries in it because they put this thing to your head. It doesn't actually touch your head,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty close. And they pull the trigger. And so I'm standing there like, there is no way I'm getting on this flight. And they pull the trigger and she goes, oh, yep, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my only point is if after running the distance of 93 gates, following a panic attack, completely out of shape, out of breath, dripping in sweat, I'm okay to get on the flight. Well, we're all going to die. That's so I'm sorry to be the one to break the news to you. Mm. And I wanted to mention as well that we all know you have to wear masks, you have to mm-hmm. be careful, you have to social distance. The airlines won't, the airport won't let you in the airport without a mask. The airline won't let you in without a mask. You'll be asked to leave if you refuse. All these procedures are in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stuff you in there like a can of sardines, like that. I don't see how that makes COVID sense.
I don't know.
The guy ahead of me, do you know this is my thing. The mm-hmm. guy ahead of me, almost immediately after takeoff, reclines his seat.
You shouldn't be doing that in the now time.
You shouldn't be doing that in the before time or the after time. Like the reclining of the seat thing is really for a long flight and, you know, hopefully when nobody's behind you
mm-hmm.
and maybe with a little bit of warning because he was one of these guys who just fucking bangs
it
back.
The people that just slam it back and, you know, in the... before time when you would have food and whatnot and we'd be
or
sitting
your
on your
laptop or
sitting on your tray and just like boom
like they think nothing exists behind them.
Thanks,
right,
Dick.
This guy leaned back. I could have licked his forehead. He was a bald guy. Anyways, he was in my lap the whole way to Winnipeg, so I'm not really sure how that's COVID friendly or preventative measures. I don't know.
I mean, they started with the we're leaving all the middle seats clear.
And that's not the case anymore.
No, because they were losing too much money. Yeah. So they need to jam pack them.
Now, what they will do is they will come along if you're a couple sitting next to each other
mm-hmm.
and ask if you're traveling together. And if you're not, they will make an effort to move you to a seat. So I saw that a couple of times. Okay.
So if they have the ability to leave the middle seat open, they will do that.
They will, but I don't really understand why they don't just do that when you book. But I mean, maybe because people choose their seat. I don't
know. Losing money. They got to fill up their planes. I just want to put this out here.
Yeah.
Yes, this is still happening. Might have to put a pause on the podcast at any moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Had a donor last night. Has not made its way through the system yet, but it's there,
that
you know? So
definitely real, right?
Well, you
got
to keep it real with the people.
So the deal is we ordered donairs through Skip the Dishes from Buster's Donair and Pizza.
Yeah, which very good Donairs.
They're great.
I quite enjoy them.
If you're a Maritimer and kind of miss King of Donair caliber Donairs, I recommend Buster's.
I don't really get how you eat your Donairs, though.
Well, I'm
because you just do meat.
Meat and sauce. And it's like, meat and sauce.
Really? Like, you don't want anything?
I don't know what that
exciting
that,
on there?
That other stuff is like commercials to me. Like, you don't get a Donair like, God, I hope there's a lot of lettuce on this. Or, you know, like.
Well, no, lettuce.
You do it for the meat and the sauce.
Oh.
And I don't really understand this because I think the Buster's that delivers to us is in like fucking Red Deer or something. Like,
I think it's way on the north side or something. Maybe.
No. It's south of us somewhere. Like, it's Leduc or Nisku. Like, I'm not really sure why that's the one that they always direct me to, but the guy
I don't know. They're good, though.
Well, it was a weird experience. So here's what happened. So we ordered these Donairs around, I don't know, midnight, right? And the map shows the guy picking up the Donair. Pretty good time. And then, you know, as I find it very entertaining to watch the car spin around and like, it's like, I don't know if that's really happening in the car, but, you know, drinks would be everywhere. Anyways, he makes it all the way here. We get the notification, the food's here. And then we get our security notification that there's motion at our front door and on our porch. And then I go upstairs to get the food. I give him enough time to leave
because,
you know, if I can avoid interaction.
I know.
So up the stairs I go. Now, I forgot that we had our porch light on a timer, and it goes off, I think, at midnight. So it was pitch dark, which is bad. Like, if you're getting food delivered, leave your porch light on so they can see the number, right? Anyway, a little bit of skip the dishes etiquette for you there. So I open the door. I literally cannot find the food. Like, I'm looking around in the darkness. I said, leave it by the front door, and it's not there. But I know the guy's already indicated he's delivered it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking around. I'm trying to adjust to the lack of light. And then this voice, like it was like God's voice from the darkness somewhere was like, it's on the chair. And I'm, oh, thanks, God. And there it was, right? So I grabbed the bag. And as I bring it down to you, I comment, this is heavy. Like,
yeah, it looked pretty stuffed.
It did.
It was.
It's weird because... it's weird that I know the weight of bags. Like, it's weird that, you know, how much food do I order?
Well, no, but you know, when we get the Buster's order, you know it's a certain size, a certain weight. Yeah. Like, there shouldn't be shit. But this was, like,
quite heavy.
A big, heavy bag. It's like,
It's like pizzas, you know, like
something
when they...
Something is not right here.
Right, when they don't mark the top of the box, I always know which one's mine. Like, the all meat with extra cheese.
Yeah, the 4 pounds of meat.
Yeah, that's the
like
one
we know.
I threw out my back picking that up. Anyways, we open it up and it's not our order, basically. Like your Donair and Hunter's Donair are there.
We're there. And I think they were pretty correct. The sauce tasted a little different. So it might have not been the sweet sauce. They might have put some other kind of sauce on, but it was pretty much what it should be. Well, and then two orders of poutine.
With sweet sauce.
Oh, I tried it.
Yeah.
As I will do because it's food.
Yeah.
And I love poutine. I know you're not a fan.
I am not.
But yeah, so normal poutine with the curds and the gravy, but then sweet sauce on top. And I have to say it was a very, not enjoyable combination. It was weird.
I was just going to say it was weird because the thing is, and I checked my order to make sure I had not checked the wrong box or something, but no, sure enough, like I ordered you two guys, the whatever Supreme Donairs, and I ordered myself the regular Donairs, meat and sauce only. Mm-hmm. So they read regular Donairs, meat and sauce only, and in their brain they saw poutine, but they still put the sweet Donair sauce on it.
Oh, you know, sometimes I'm a little slow in the uptake. See, I'm thinking did we get somebody's order? Yeah, or they mixed up the order, and I'm thinking, who orders poutine with sweet sauce? But meanwhile, Buster's Donair is probably like, who is ordering poutine with sweet sauce?
Right. I don't know what made them see poutine, but...
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it was a Windows software update. I don't know what happened, but...
Yeah. Anyway, do not put sweet sauce on your poutine.
No, it's fucking horrible. I'd have preferred they just pissed on it and then sent it. I mean, that was just horrible. So we got hold of Skip the Dishes, and here's another tip for you, Skip the Dishes. I've learned through friends. Now, they'll refund you right away. I mean, you just tell them, like, it's the wrong order or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they have some kind of policy at Skip the Dishes, and I'm not sure specifically what the policy is. But if you complain too much, they deactivate your account.
I can see that.
Yeah. Because they're just trying to avoid guys who are always complaining, right? But I had...
I feel like you complain a lot.
Well, here's the thing, Carol. Oh my God. I had just complained like 2 or 3 days earlier.
You're so angry and angsty today.
Well, I am a little bit. I'm hoping to work that out as we go along.
What's going on with you?
It's a mystery.
Maybe it's the heat. It's just getting to you.
I guess so. I had ordered, as I do, I order coffee every morning. When this whole... In the before time, I used to get up, I would drive to Tim Hortons, I would get your coffee, my coffee, and I'd bring it home. In the now time, I get it delivered by Skip the Dishes, and I get McDonald's coffee, which I'm just going to say, it is actually superior. So in Winnipeg, I thought, okay, well, I don't have a car, and you know, so I ordered my 3 extra large double doubles, don't judge me.
It's a ridiculous amount of coffee.
Well, I drink it all day. And this woman, like I see on the Skip the Dishes app that this woman is bringing it to me. And my only question is she going to bring it all the way up to the room or is she going to leave it at the front desk? Because if the front desk sees her, they've got a policy where she's not allowed in the hotel. They have to, because of COVID, which makes no sense. Like our guests, we just assume don't have COVID, but the Skip the Dishes.
No, but they're just trying to reduce the amount of traffic.
I guess.
Through their establishment.
So again, not wanting to have any kind of contact with an individual, I'm like looking through my little peephole there, and I'm at the end of a hallway, so I can see all the way down the hallway, and I've been notified that she's arrived. So now I'm waiting for either the phone to ring, and it's the front desk saying your coffee's here, or for her to appear out of the elevator. Well, it's the latter. She appears out of the elevator, and she's got the bag, so it's out of the little red carry thing. It's just the bag, the big brown bag with the handle. And she is swinging it, like back and forth. Like it is going...
She's power walking.
She is. It's going higher than her head. Like it's going up in front, higher than her head, and back, higher. And I'm just like, what the fuck does that look? And I had ordered 3 coffee and 1 Egg McMuffin. And the only reason I ordered the Egg McMuffin was because by adding the $4 and whatever for Egg McMuffin, I saved...
Ooh, is that how much they are?
Yeah. They're not cheap.
I would have thought like $2.
They used to be, but they're not anymore. Okay. By adding the Egg McMuffin, I don't pay the delivery, which is $5, right? So you're losing money, not to it, right? But this woman is just like swinging it, like just swinging it. And I'm just like... riveted to this little people, and you know how big they look in the mirror, like she in the mirror, in the people. As she gets to the people, she does one more swing up in the air and then drops it, like just like she's an Air Canada baggage handler, like I don't know, but she just drops it, turns and leaves. And so I wait for her to get on the elevator because I'm like, well, what the fuck does this look like? And I open my door, there is a pool of coffee, like it's gushing out of the bottom of the bag. Like I can't pick up the bag because the bottom has now so deteriorated. So I'm sort of scooping it all up, and I get it into my room, leaving a trail of coffee the whole way to the bathroom, which I couldn't think of where else do I go with this. 2 coffees are completely empty. 1's got part of the coffee in it, and the Egg McMuffin is completely soaked in coffee. Plus, Winnipeg McDonald's gives you 2 cookies with every coffee order. And it's a note saying, thank you for supporting us during these tough times. Well, that's absolute mush as well. Like, the whole thing's mush. So I got hold of Skip the Dishes, and they refunded me. But then, you know, here we are 2 days later, and I'm saying again, they got the order wrong. Like, my fear is that if we complain in the next week.
Well, here's my question.
Yeah.
So, because I don't have the Skip the Dishes app, don't understand it, whatever. So, you complain.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of, say, a restaurant forgot to give you something or they actually screwed up your order.
Yeah.
And you ask for a refund.
Yeah.
So, that comes out of the restaurant.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I would assume so.
Okay, but swing and Skip the Dish lady, like your order was correct. McDonald's got it
correct. Right.
And but now they're refunding you due to the delivery person.
So
who's paying for that?
I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you. You have the opportunity to rate both the courier and the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So I gave the courier a thumbs down and the restaurant a thumbs up.
So, right. Yeah.
Because everything was in the bag that was supposed to be in the bag. And I believe packed correctly, if not for, you know, had they not known, and obviously they didn't know. They didn't know a crash test dummy was bringing the food up to my room.
Well, and here's the thing, because you're saying it was just in the brown McDonald's bag. Yeah. It wasn't in a red, you know, thermal bag or whatever. She's got to be able to smell that. I mean, you can smell coffee.
You can see it.
right?
Like it's taped shut, but you can see it. Yeah.
And plus you can feel that it's a drink tray is in there, right? So what was she thinking? She wasn't.
I don't know. When I complained, they were like, well, we'll take this up at the restaurant. No, like you do it online,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in a chat. And I was like, no, don't take it up at the restaurant. Like they were fine.
Wrong. Yeah.
Take it up with whatever courier just like threw this bag at my door. Like it's just weird. Mm-hmm. I have the feeling like it didn't seem malicious to me. It seemed like she was really enjoying her job. Like just, you know what? Life is good. Like I drive around giving people food and
maybe a little too enthusiastic there.
It was weird indeed. All right.
I am exhausted already and we have just barely started.
We're a third in. I know. Can you
from
believe
one
that?
Fucking story?
Well, that was more than one.
Well, it was all Winnipeg.
All right, fine. Okay. Let's get to this then.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Blue's Clues.
Remember Blue's Clues?
That was such a cute show.
I loved it. And Arthur, I loved that as well.
All the kids' shows.
I know.
I like the kids' shows.
I was talking to somebody, I think at Rumors, who was comparably our age or my age, I'm much older than you, who said that when their kids got older, they really missed watching those television shows.
I know. I do too.
Yeah. I actually, for a time there, when the kids were, I think actually when the kids were still watching them, but I was touring, I would sometimes like turn on Arthur or Little Bear, never Caillou. Fuck, that kid was annoying.
I don't want to play with Rosie.
Hey, just go fucking play with your sister, you little piece of shit.
They're so angry.
I know. What's going on?
But now we have grandsons. So we can start watching the kiddie shows. Yeah. Or we could just watch children's television. There's nothing saying that we can't just watch that.
That seems wrong. Cherie asked on Facebook, how was Winnipeg after 18 years? Do tell on your 18th episode. Was it everything you hoped for? It was everything I hoped for. I guess, you know, ideally we would have been able to fill the room, and I think we could have if not for restrictions placed upon us by COVID. Mm-hmm. But it was good. The crowds were there, as many as we could put into the room. The opening acts were great. The management was great. Staff is wonderful there. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And you know, of course, I hadn't played it in 18 years, and this was my, Facebook, the Rumors had billed it as Andrew Gross's triumphant return to Winnipeg. I think it was a triumphant return. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, and we talked about dates for next year, so
good.
I'll be back again within the year, which is, it's always good to have a week of work. You know, if every club would give you a week of work,
you'd be working
all the time. Yeah, So that's good.
Mm-hmm. B. Dillinger commented on Instagram, should probably check out your podcast because haven't listened to that other thing since you left.
That other thing.
What is that other thing?
Well, B. Dillinger, I hope you're listening to this. I would recommend, of course, if you are.
Check it out. Why have you not checked it out?
Turn it off and go back to episode one, so what happened, and then work your way back to 18. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard, and welcome to anybody else listening for the first time. It's one of those things where a lot of people who listen to me in that other thing are like me. They don't do podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that a lot of people are aware of the podcast, but almost every day that I interact with somebody from Edmonton, and somebody will say, all right, how do you do this fucking podcast?
Well, I never listen to podcasts.
Right. Like you don't,
a lot of people do. They love it. They listen to all kinds of, I had never listened to a podcast before, ever.
Nor had I.
Yeah.
Which again, cycling back to, you know, Buzzsprout telling you how to do a podcast, one of their other tips was listen to a podcast. Yeah, exactly. But so you know what the hell you're doing. So I don't know if ours even sounds like a podcast. Like, I don't know what it's supposed to sound like.
Well, it's just a lot of talk, isn't it? So, I mean, we're doing that, so probably not doing too badly.
Rhonda asked on Twitter, can you explain what is going on in the United States with the Postal Service in the U.S. election?
Yes, because you are the authority on
I'm not.
Well, it's just odd that she would ask you to explain it. I'm not saying that you don't know, because you're very learned and you
try. It's learned, Pepsi.
And you try and keep up with the times. But
I do. I just find, like, when it comes to politics, there's a lot of noise.
Mm.
And my preference is to do my due diligence to do I'm interested in politics. I'm not necessarily interested in talking about politics, mm-hmm. But I like to do my due diligence and look into it. And then I don't want to say dummy it down because that's not the right term. I like to sort of get rid of the shit and get
trim
to the
fat. Trim the fat.
Yeah.
Get to the meat.
Basically, it's this. The U.S. Postal Service has been losing money for years. And so as part of a package that the Democrats are putting together, there would be, I can't remember, $50 billion or something, like some ridiculous amount of money that would go to the U.S. Postal Service in order to bail them out so that they would be available to do these absentee ballots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or mail-in ballots.
Same thing, by the way.
They are the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think in a move, I think everyone's blaming Trump, and I think Trump is not actually 100% responsible for this.
I know
you want to hate him, but not everything he does is bad, and not everything the Democrats do is good. I think that the Postal Service is making a big deal, a showy deal, about removing boxes and stuff like that because they want to draw to the attention of regular folks in the United States that, hey, we're not going to be able to handle an election unless we get some money. So it turns out they're going to get the money. Well, I shouldn't say that. It turns out that they're going to stop cutting back service until after November 3rd so that they can go ahead and provide the service of getting ballots to and from, right, for the election.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I honestly think it was more the U.S. Postal Service. Now, maybe at the suggestion of Trump, I don't know. But well, I think they were just being really showy.
One of the post guys, I don't know if it's the top postmaster guy. He's
Louis DeJoy.
Okay, is that
Louis DeJoy?
Is that the? I mean, someone is Trump's crony. Is that him?
That's him.
Okay,
that's it. I mean, it serves Trump well if you believe the rhetoric you've heard, and I kind of do, that mail-in ballots benefit Biden. So if you can interfere with mail-in ballots, it's to Trump's advantage. So that's why it's pretty easy to connect the dots and say, well, Trump wanted the Postal Service disrupted because he'd have an advantage. But
well, and you know, yet Trump has registered in Florida for his mail-in ballot.
I know. But you know what? They're all full of shit.
I mean,
I'm not defending Trump here. I'm just saying they're all full of shit. Like, Louis DeJoy is full of shit, too.
Just this whole thing and the way that Trump comes at it, it makes it look, okay, so you do not trust the democratic process in your country. That's basically...
I know. It's an oddity where... And you know, the argument has been all along that, listen, there's widespread voter fraud when it comes to these mail-in ballots. And
is that true, though?
Well, there's been no proof of that. But then now several Republicans are saying, yeah, well, there's no proof. There hasn't been. It's like, okay, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I honestly just think he's setting the groundwork. So in case he loses.
Maybe.
He, you know, there's a deniability. It's like, okay, maybe. We can put the blame here. We can put the blame there. We can, you know, whatever. It's not because people don't love me. It's because, maybe. You know, the process was fucked up.
So the process is fucked up in general in the United States when it comes to getting money to something like the U.S. Postal Service. The way bills work in the United States is that their Senate is like our parliament and their Congress is like our Senate. And those two houses put together are called the House. That's why it's sometimes confusing. And the way bills happen is they get through the houses and over to the president's desk to sign, but they often add something to the bill. So this bailout for the U.S. Postal Service is part of a COVID relief bill, which will put money in the hands of regular Americans who are struggling because they can't work. But the Democrats have added this, you know, so you can argue that Trump put the Postal Service up to it. But I think there's an equally valid argument that the Postal Service saw an opportunity to get their hands on some cash. So in fairness, and this is not a joke, here's what Trump actually said about it.
They want $25 billion, billion, for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting because they're not equipped to have it. Now, if we don't make a deal, that means they don't get the money. That means they can't have universal mail-in voting. They just can't have it.
So he's talking about making a deal. So there's more to the package than just the money for the post office. And he, you know, that's how it works in the States. And it's so fucked up that I'm surprised they get anything passed.
Oh, fuck, I know.
Now, I want to say quickly, because it's just, you know, one of those things that just irritates me. When we talk about Postal Service, and because we're talking about it in the United States, I've seen on Twitter people talking about Canada Post and like, you know, it's time to let's overhaul Canada Post before whatever. I just want to dispel a couple of myths. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Canada Post, there's a myth that Canada Post isn't profitable. It's been profitable 23 of the last 25 years. One of the years in which they were not profitable was as a result of a settlement they had to make with employees. So it was a one-time judgment and it caused them to be unprofitable. But generally speaking, they're profitable. Myth number two is that our taxpayers taxpayer dollar pays for Canada Post. It does not. Not one penny of taxpayer money goes to Canada Post. They are a crown corporation, yes, but they're self-sufficient. So if they lose money, they lose money. If they make money, they make money. They've actually put back, if they make a profit, that actually goes back to the federal government because ultimately they are the boss, right? Mm-hmm. So if they don't make money, though, it doesn't cost the federal government anything. So they are actually not a waste of tax money at all. And Canada Post is actually, Canada Post Corporation is actually an umbrella company. So it includes the mail delivery that you've seen. It also includes like whatever, you know, when you get paid and you get
e-transfers.
This. E-transfers, that kind of thing. That's Canada Post's company. Mm. Purolator is Canada Post. There's a lot of aspects, a lot of smaller companies under the corporate umbrella. And generally, they make money. Here's another really odd little ditty for you. You know how we've gotten rid of home delivery? We have super boxes now, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're an intelligent woman. Why did Canada Post go to super boxes?
I don't know, to save money.
Yeah, to save money. But Canada Post now has looked at it and determined that it doesn't actually save money, that it would not cost them any additional money to have the carriers go door to door.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure the carriers would not like that.
Well, I think you would hire more carriers then. I think it would actually
I think there's some that probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't know who would enjoy it in, you know, minus 30, but
the idea was that looking 20, 30, 40 years ahead, they were looking at, you know, mail and Canada Post today delivers six times the items that they did 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's not what you think. It's not going down. It's going up. Mm-hmm. But most of those items are parcels. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they anticipated that. So what they were looking at was, if we do these super mailboxes, we can handle this six times load.
Right.
But parcels, for the most part, go directly to your house or get picked up at the drugstore. So they didn't get the load they thought they were going to get, which means they could actually go back to door-to-door delivery. They won't, but they could.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about what happened to us before I went away. You and I were out doing what we do. We were driving around neighborhoods that we've driven around before and judging your houses. And sort of updating ourselves on is that house still for sale and is construction complete on that one? Because we've seen every house in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
We're to the point now of like, you know.
Need a new city to drive to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But we saw on 23rd Avenue as we approached Rabbit Hill Road, this woman, we think at that point, we didn't know for sure, she was in disguise, pull out of the shopping center there, make a left-hand turn onto Twilliger, and then stop. Like she just in mid-turn stopped, and we're sort of coming up. She was clear to go, but we're kind of coming up on her going, why is that car stopped? And then she started again and stopped like one, two car lengths before the red light. And then when the light turned green, she continued down Twilliger, but she was, or no, I should say down 23rd. It was 23rd. She's going down 23rd kind of
erratic, a bit of, you know, over to the left, over to the right.
Really
driving
slow.
Driving incredibly slow.
Yeah.
Which drunk drivers tend to remain under the speed limit, thinking they're getting away
being
with
safe,
shit. So we
yeah.
were like, is she drunk?
Like cars are going around her. You know what it reminded me of? The Flintstones. It was like she was like her feet were through the floorboards and that's how she was powering the vehicle. And so we went by her because we wanted to see who was driving.
Couldn't tell. She had a mask, a big floppy hat. Knew it was a lady. Figured out that much, but couldn't tell if she was young or if she was old. Suspected she was probably a little old, maybe middle-aged. But other than that, had no idea who was driving this
or
car.
Or born in the Middle Ages. I mean, she did look quite old. We got ahead of her and we got to down 23rd to Twilliger. And then we're kind of like, okay, is she turning or not turning? Like, we wanted to turn ahead of her if she was going to, because we wanted to continue to keep an eye on her, because this is the most adventure we've had in weeks. So she turned, we waited, and then I said to you, look, if she's going on Anthony Henday, we need to call the police. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. And she started heading towards Anthony Henday. You called the police, and you were talking to the police the entire time. Now, she went past Anthony Henday, mm-hmm. and then turned into that whole Windermere community. Mm-hmm. You know, the one where every house is for sale.
The Windermere Drive. Yeah, because I think everybody's houses are falling into the river. I'm not sure if that's true.
That's just really weird, because they're almost all for sale.
I don't know. Maybe it's an economic thing. I'm not sure. But
fell upon bad times?
No, they're not all for sale. There's quite a few for sale. I don't have the money, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're about to fall in the river, we could probably get a deal.
I'm sure they're not all about to fall in the river. But
so here's the thing. So you're on the phone doing a play-by-play with the police mm-hmm, officer or mm-hmm. the dispatcher, whoever it is you're talking to.
At that point, I was talking to an actual police officer, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, she turns onto whatever road that is, and we're behind her. Now, at this point, we wondered, has she spotted us? Because she's slowing down. We can't tell if she's looking in the rearview mirror. So she pulls off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to make a decision.
So we have to go past.
Do we go past? Right? Do we pull up behind her? What do we do? So we go past.
Mm-hmm.
She's not turning into a house.
No, she's just stopped.
Just stopped. So we go another block down the road. Then we pull over
mm-hmm.
to keep an eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
Still talk to the police.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
She then gets back on the road and hangs a left, or as you like to say, a Louie.
A Larry.
A Larry,
it's a Larry and a Randy.
Okay. She hangs a Larry into this house. So naturally, we zip around to go back and see,
mm-hmm.
still talking to the police,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't get out of her car. So she pulls up to the garage, and I believe, wasn't the garage door open?
No, it was
closed?
Closed at that point, yeah.
So she's just in her driveway.
Now, to be fair,
yeah,
she's a woman alone in her car, mm-hmm. and she obviously, because when she pulled to the side of the road, she must have discovered, this car is following me. Unless she was just like, I'm driving so slow, I'm going to let this person pass.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're a woman alone in your car and you feel like somebody's following you, do not drive to your home. Don't right. pull into your driveway.
Well, they say drive to a police station.
Yeah, or any populated area, get help, whatever. So she might have been like, oh, I don't want to get out of my car. I'm in my driveway now. Because now we're parked on the road in front of her house,
mm-hmm.
Long driveway, lots of trees in the front, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're obviously parked in front of her house watching her.
Yeah, we're not
hiding.
What
she's going to do next. So she might have been afraid. Like, okay, who are these people? And where?
Well, at that moment, I guess. That's true. I mean, I said to you, if she phones the police and says somebody's following me, that's perfect, because we've phoned the police to say we're following somebody. Right. So
we're not doing anything
wrong. No. Like, hopefully you don't
Because they tell you, if you think that you're behind an impaired driver,
mm-hmm.
you're to call 911.
That's right.
And even because initially I just called the main line, the 423-567-458, whatever.
Yeah.
And the recording on that is like, if you suspect a drunk driver, like that's an actual 911.
Oh, okay.
Call.
All right.
Yes.
Well, she gets out of the car. Now, she was in there for a while, and the cop kept saying, is she still in the car? And she would hit the brakes. It looks, you'd see the brake lights come on. So yeah, she's still in the car.
So we're still like, we don't know if this is her home or if she's just pulled in here.
Right.
Yeah, to get away from
us. But again, if police arrive as a result of her calling,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be a detective to figure out those two calls.
Yeah, exactly.
But now she gets out of the car with some kind of container, goes to the left-hand side of her house and dumps the container in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery. Don't know what she's got in the container or why she's...
Yeah.
But she does that. And then she goes back, not to the front door.
But wanders around to the other side of the house.
Right. Where, I mean, if I get out of a car and headed to the bushes, I'm having a pee. But that's not what she was doing, right?
No.
So she wanders to the other side and then comes out through the garage. So she gained entry to the house.
Okay, that's your house. So, yeah, obviously, you live there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, the police are basically, if she's out of the car now, there's nothing we can do.
Like, if she's in the house.
Right.
And they didn't have patrols available anyway, but he was, I'm going to put this on the sergeant's desk and see what he wants to do about it. And it's like, obviously, you're not going to do anything.
He said exactly that, right? Yeah. I'm going to put it on the sergeant's desk.
Yeah. I'll run it by the sergeant, see what he wants to do.
So, over the years, I have phoned the police 3 times to report an impaired driver, and 3 times, nobody has shown up. Mm. And I, I really support men and women in uniform, no matter what that uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to shit on cops here, but it's like, what the fuck? If you want us to report an impaired driver, you have to actually fucking show up.
Well, that was the second time that I've done
that you've
impaired
done.
Driver. And the first time, and I remember I called you like right after it happened. I was on the White Mud and I followed this woman pretty much from 170th Street all the way to, you know, heading, you know, Twilliger Way and then all the way to the Henday. Mm. She was all over the road. She was in the lane, this lane, that lane, just everywhere, speeding up, slowing down. At one point, she hit the concrete median.
Mm.
It just totally sideswiped her car.
Wow.
That did not stop her, slow her down, whatever. I called the police. They're like, okay, we'll keep following her. So they're, you know, we're doing the, once again, the play-by-play. They're asking me what I'm driving. It was right before the Henday that we see you, we see her, just pull off.
So the cops came.
Yeah, they did come. Okay. They're like, okay, just pull up and off to the sides. We'll talk to you later. And she was texting.
Texting. So not drunk.
Not drunk.
How do you hit cement?
I don't know.
And continue doing whatever behavior caused you to hit cement.
Like you just sideswiped your car. What the? It was crazy.
I don't know. It's just, you know, again, not to get too political, although we said off the top, we talk politics a little bit on this show. This whole movement to defund the police is not about getting rid of the police. It's about getting rid of some responsibilities that they shouldn't really have, you know, mental health responsibilities, these sort of things.
And give them to the appropriate agencies to deal with.
So that they can respond to calls like drivers.
So they can do policing work and not so much social work.
Right.
Pretty much.
And, but, you know, again, in the interest of full disclosure, during the course of the now time where we've been looking and searching for things to do, we spent several nights in a row monitoring the Edmonton police scanner.
Because that was another thing that we found an app for police scanner because it was like, we're so bored. Like, what's happening in the city?
And
like,
you can hear them chatting with each other.
Entertaining. And, it's like, there's this call and, there's a missing child. And
right.
You know, this guy's streaking.
There was shots heard.
Yes.
Yeah, So one night we're listening to it and we're in the Windermere, whatever, Currents parking lot where we like to go to watch the police gather because between 8 and 9, they go to the McDonald's there and then they all sort of park near each other. They don't actually get into each other's cars, but they seem to like, you know, wave and correspond with one another as they eat burgers. And I'm assuming they get breaks. So this is their break. Mm-hmm. It seems weird that everyone goes on break at the same time. But anyways, so all these cars are there as we're listening to the police scanner. And then there's this call, which is not in their district. So it wouldn't have been.
No, it was on the north side or something. So they wouldn't have been involved with it anyway. Right. But it was quite.
It was just interesting because the call was that there was a naked guy in a 7-Eleven with a knife who was threatening people and stealing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to you, and you were like, oh, fuck, it's the north side. Like, by the time we get there.
There's no.
Like, we won't be able
to. That would have been a great call to go to.
But this cop from the north side radios back and goes, why is this a priority call? And the two of us just looked at each other like, well, how does it get any more priority than
how
that?
How is that not priority?
Wait a minute. Naked guy, knife, threatening people and stealing in a 7-Eleven is.
And you're not concerned about that at all.
That's like one of those, I'll put it on the sergeant's desk and see what he wants to do about it next week. So, you know, I do think they need to take some of the responsibilities off police. You know, to free them up to do regular police work. But I also think whatever cop asked, why is that a priority call, maybe needs to have a talk with somebody.
Yeah.
Because how'd you like your wife or daughter or son or how would you?
Yeah, he's the slacker. You know he's the slacker cop.
That's right.
He's like, I'm not taking that call.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that call.
Just to clarify, is this a priority over the donuts I just put in my front seat? Yeah, I can't believe I did a donut cop reference, but all right. So we said the name of this particular episode was Unsolved Mysteries, and I have one for you that I really want your opinion on, and it falls in the category of just the facts. All right, so Edmonton, what city was it in? Winnipeg.
Going to Winnipeg. I've never been to Winnipeg, by the way.
That's weird.
I know.
It's where I was born.
I know. Yeah, just one of the cities that I've been to many cities.
Yep.
From coast to coast. Have never been to Winnipeg.
If you would like to get an idea of what Winnipeg is like, my suggestion would be that you go to any parking lot and you'll see.
Okay.
It's a very cementy concrete town.
They don't like trees.
There are trees, and there's even parks, but even their parks, like, I'll give you a good example. So when I grew up in Winnipeg, there was the Assiniboine River. Well, there still is. It didn't dry up.
Yeah.
There's the Red River and the Assiniboine River. Where they connect, by the way, is called the Forks, and that's their big attraction out there. But along the Assiniboine River, which goes to Assiniboine Park, are what we used to refer to as the monkey trails. So there were these dirt paths that people would bike on. They didn't walk on them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, they had been so eroded through excessive bike, you know, usage that they were perfect. Mm-hmm. So you would honestly bike 4 miles along Wellington Crescent, but you're off behind trees, like you're nowhere near traffic or anything. And so much fun. Like kids of all ages would bike. And at some point there was this huge crevice where you could go around it and continue, or you could go down the crevice. And it was sort of like, you know, extreme sports kind of thing, right? So like I say, Winnipeg is just really, they love their concrete. Like, I don't know if like concrete was invented in Winnipeg or if there's, the government owns a concrete company. I don't know what it is, but everything's concrete. Like even their parks downtown are like just concrete. Like it's just really weird how much cement they use. But one day they paved the monkey trails. And I wasn't living there by then, but they just paved the monkey trails. And it was like, you know how cities work. It was like a city inspector heard that there was an area of Winnipeg that was not yet cement and was like, well, fuck, we need to get to.
We got
to
throw some down there.
Right. And then they became completely unpopular.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't take kids' fun away.
No. Like it's like the accidental beach here in Edmonton when it occurred. And the city was going, you know what we should do? You know, hey, I'll tell you what you should
do. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the fuck away from it is what you should do. It's an accidental beach.
Exactly.
Anyway, so here's what happened in Winnipeg. It wasn't while I was there, but I did want to ask you about it. I know I haven't told you the story yet. So there was a show. It wasn't, again, during the week I was there. I think it was in the before time, so it was a pretty full house. And this couple arrives. They're middle-aged, nice couple, well-dressed, you know, not too fancy, dressed appropriately for a comedy club. Seemed like a happy enough couple. They come in. Server knows them. Or recognizes them, doesn't know them, but recognizes them as having been to the club before, but they're not so regular that they're there every week. They order food, they order drinks, they watch the show, they have a great time. They're not a problem of any kind. They're extremely polite to the server. And at the end of the night, the server brings them their bill and puts it on the table. So the way Rumors works is that the bills are paid on your way out the door. At the front desk, and they set up a temporary desk so they can do two at a time point of sales and get it moving. Or you can just leave the cash on the table. That's not their preference, like, of course.
You don't give it to the server. You just leave it on the table?
You should. But I mean,
well, you made it sound like that was their.
No, it's always
like, leave it on the table.
Well, in any business that handles,
I mean, you should always wait until the server comes and picks it up.
Exactly.
But comedy clubs, when everybody's getting up to leave at the same time, the servers are overwhelmed.
So the server watches them look at the bill.
Okay.
The bill's like $50 or whatever. So husband, wife, and she like looks at the bill. She takes out her purse. She counts out money. She says something to her husband, and I'm guessing it would be like, oh, how much should we tip? And puts cash down on the table with the bill. And then she turns to leave. He turns to leave and goes out the door with her. And then I'm not going to tell you what happened next, but I'll skip forward to what happened a little while later. Is the club phones the woman whose name and phone number was on the reservation and says, hi, you know, you were at the club earlier tonight. And well, listen, we... you didn't pay your tab. To which she says, no, I certainly did. I left cash on the table.
Which somebody probably swiped.
Right.
Yeah, walking by. And
You know how that happens. So, so the manager of the club says, okay, well, we have something we'd like to show you. And she's like, okay. And she, when would be convenient for you to come back? And she was, I'll come back right now. So her and her husband come back. And into the club they go. Husband looks... pissed. Like he's waiting to rip a strip, like, just how dare you, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's going to defend his wife's honor because basically in his mind, I think, she's being accused of theft.
But the server saw her put money on the table.
Server did see money
go down.
Yeah.
Well, you got that going for you then.
Well, for sure.
Okay.
So they're at the counter. They introduce themselves. The manager of the club is like, okay, I'd like to show you something. A video. Now the husband.
That's always bad. Yeah.
The husband apparently just saw his dead grandfather. Like, he just goes white.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you know, visibly like, ah, fuck. Right. And they pull up the video on a monitor at the front desk because they were unaware, I suppose, that comedy clubs specifically, but most businesses have security cameras everywhere.
Like, people are so like, you always have to assume you're being watched on some sort of CCTV somewhere.
Right. And a lot of these cameras are set up to watch patrons. Some of them are set up to watch staff, right?
Yeah.
But there's cameras
everywhere. Okay.
And Rumors has a ton of them, a bank of them. So they start the video and the husband and wife are watching it like it's the latest episode of Ozark. Like, they're just like, oh, this should be entertaining. And they see the bill go down. They see the wife talk to the husband, take the money out, put it on the table. They see the two of them get up.
Mm-hmm.
They see her turn to leave and him scoop the money up and put it in his pocket.
Oh,
and
hubby,
out the door they go.
What the fuck?
Exactly. And it's a mystery. That's not a mystery. We know who stole the money.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, she didn't, like, yell at him. She didn't go. She just went, okay, I'll pay it. Like, and she paid it with credit card.
I wonder what that conversation was like on the drive home.
Exactly. So my question to you, as a previous comedy club manager, as a executive director of a comedy festival, as a wife, as a mother, what the fuck? Like, what is the story? And I don't know the answer. What is the backstory to that? Is he on an allowance and this is the only way we can get money? Did he think he was stealing from the server? Did he think he was stealing from his wife? Like,
I think, well, a lot of people, you know, people who swipe cash that was left on a table or people who dine and dash, whatever, they think that's, you know, just eaten up by the establishment. And it's not. It's the server. That comes out of the server's pocket.
Absolutely.
So, like you say, who knows what was going on in his mind? Probably he thought, you know, okay, he's probably not thinking it comes out of the server's pocket.
Like, is he a kleptomaniac? Is he?
Could very well be, but yeah, God, that's just, fuck, what the fuck were you thinking, buddy?
How deliciously awkward that car ride home, as you just said, because I'm picturing, you know, when you, any circumstance, you picture your own relationship or your own. So I'm picturing you and I leaving a place. I don't think we would leave the, like, I feel like the car would run for a while in the parking lot while you demanded an explanation for what the fuck. And knowing you, listen, I don't want to, you know, knowing you, you wouldn't necessarily be, why the fuck would you steal 60? But you would be more like, why the fuck did the two of us just go back to this club if you knew you stole the 60 bucks?
Yeah, like, why didn't you just own up to, oh, God.
Yeah, just give him the credit card over the phone, call it a day.
That is a crazy ass story.
It is, and it's not a huge story. But it's just a really weird story to which I will never know the answer. And Dine and Dash happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I had a comedy club, and this is one of my favorite, Tim Norris, Taz, was the headliner. I remember that. And he had invited these two women who worked at the hotel that we were putting Taz in, that was in Sherwood Park, right? So there's a connection there. Like, we're actually there. They're vendors of ours, and he invites them, so they get free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They run up a tab. It wasn't bad, like $75, $60, something like that, and then they walked on the tab.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew who they were, right?
Yeah.
And these days, social media is such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go through it, you find out, you know, where they live, whatever. You can get phone numbers. You can find out a lot. But we had their phone number anyway from the reservation. So we phone at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, their house, and this woman answers, and I'm like, hi, is this whatever, Gloria or whatever? And no, it's her mother. She's not home right now. And I'm like, well, it's Andrew Gross from the Laugh Shop, and she just walked on a tab for $75. And the mother was like, well, she's not home, and I'd like to get her side of the story. And I was like, well, it's up to you. You can give me a credit card number over the phone, or you can give it to the police when they arrive at your door, because that's my next call. And okay, do you take Visa? Certainly do. And then I was like, And how much would you like to tip your server? Because I think they gave your daughter and her friend great service, and she tipped her a significant amount. But again, it's another one of those where, the fuck were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
We know who you are. You're there on free tickets, and we do business with your employer. Why would you walk on your tab? But this guy, this fucking guy, I can't understand. Like, I would love to know who, I would buy him beers.
Just tell me what were you thinking?
What were you thinking? Like, I would gladly comp him into a show and buy him drinks if he would just sit with me and explain, A, what he was thinking, and B, what that conversation
honestly,
was like.
Honestly, like, I think, I mean, we don't know. Like you say, maybe he's a kleptomaniac, whatever. I think he just saw it as it was just a crime of opportunity. Like, everybody's getting up at the same time to leave the comedy club. Servers, you know, so it's kind of, you know.
I know.
If you've never been, it's a lot happening. Servers are trying to keep tab of, and he's probably just thinking, no one's going to see this. Like, we're getting up. I'm just like.
Okay. So you know what? I don't know if kids listen to this podcast. And maybe they're in the backseat of a car while their mom or dad listens to the podcast. So two pieces of advice to the kids out there. And listen up, kids. Number one, stay in school. That's really important. And number two, don't go to jail for $60. Go to jail for $60 million.
Don't go to jail for anything. Don't steal. Like, right, don't. Because, like I say, people are unaware of how much you are actually being watched. Yeah, like, you don't know how many cameras a store has.
But if you're going to risk hard time. It should be like Caribbean island hard time. You know what I mean? Like, it should be like.
Well, I think the prison sentence is probably going to be a little bit more for $60 million than it would for $60. So, but I hear
it's Canada, and I'm a first time offender.
I hear what you're saying.
On Sunday, there was a protest held in Edmonton demanding the Alberta government not mandate wearing masks. I've got some audio from it.
I think everybody has the right to choose. If you feel the need to wear a mask, myself, I choose not to. I don't discriminate against you for wearing one. Many people with health problems cannot wear masks. Anxiety, people with epilepsy.
Might as well face it, your dick.
I don't even know what she was saying in her little chant there.
I couldn't catch it either. I listened to it a few times.
If you're going to make up a chant for a protest, a picket line, a sporting event,
right?
Work on the pentameter, because that was
cadence is everything.
That was poor.
That it has to be something that everyone can easily repeat and have momentum to. You're absolutely right.
Like, I thought she was going to go with, hey, ho, the masks have got to go. But she added a whole bunch of extra words in there. I was like, what are you doing?
Hey, ho, my name's Gloria. I'm from the North Side. The masks have got to go. So, hey, speaking of masks, the Comedy Festival, we've made a decision that I wanted to let everyone know about. You and I discussed it. You came up with the idea. I love it. We've told ATB Financial about it. We've told the media participants about it, but we have not told you about it yet, or the general public. So you're hearing it first here. We're going to get we're going to not have a live media challenge this year. It's one of our most popular shows. We don't want to get rid of the media challenge, though, because it's one of our most popular shows. So we'll be doing it virtually. We'll be broadcasting it off our website, atbcomedy.com, on the night and at the time that it typically would have taken place. So I'm really excited about the idea of doing it this way.
It's something different.
Yeah. So it'll be free to everybody, because typically we sell out and we charge money. Now, usually the door from that goes to Free Footy. We're just going to go ahead and step up and give Free Footy the money we would have made from the door. I know, but it's a commitment I made years ago, and we're going to keep it. So we'll give Free Footy the money and that they should have earned, and we'll just figure out a way to make that work. But the show must go on, so we'll be holding the show, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, because I think the media contestants can be a little more creative in how they do it if they're doing it on camera,
right?
You know, as to backdrop and props and whatever else. Now, as far as the rest of the festival goes, we're 100% having a festival.
It'll be a bit smaller than normal.
We're taking a lot of precautions.
Reduced
we're going to take
capacity.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take the HS recommendations. We're going to beat and exceed them. And of course, we'll have fever camps.
By Sure Security, we're going to be using those at every venue. And you yourself can buy, rent, or lease these cameras for your business, bar event, backyard gathering, or just add another layer of COVID protection. And you can phone or text Oz at Sure Security for more information. 780-700-2627.
So 780-726-27, Sure Security,
Oz. Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're like...
They're really cool.
Sort of look like a little iPad on a stand, and, and you just stand in front of it, and it just gauges your temperature. I think it even tells you if you're wearing a mask
or not.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it was
tells
very cool.
you to put on a mask.
Yeah.
So that's among many other... precautions.
We've got lots of protocols. It's going to be weird. It's going to be different, but
I don't want to make too many asks at the end of this podcast episode, so I'll make an ask right now. If you get hold of Oz from Sure Security, or if you get hold of Todd from Todd's Mechanical, or if you get hold of Crystal Glass, if you use any of those services, we'd really appreciate it if you'd tweet, post about it, you know, tell them whatever that you heard it on Gross Misconduct. The more times that we can send some business to these companies, the more likely they will be to sponsor the podcast next year. And if there's no sponsorship for the podcast next year, it ain't happening.
There will be no podcast.
So, you know, I'm sorry, but as long as it's making us money, like, we'll keep doing it. If it's not making us money, we'll find other ways to make money. All right. So that brings us to this critical juncture in the show.
This is Jeopardy!
All right, just to review, Carol, I believe you were aggressively betting last week.
Oh, yeah. Or was that the week before? I don't know. I've been up. I've been down. I've been, have not been consistent with my intelligence. That's for sure.
Well, I think your intelligence is consistent. Your knowledge, perhaps. I want you to do well. I want you to make money. You know me. I'm your biggest fan. So you have $600 to work with.
Okay.
And we have to spin the wheel, of course, as we always do. So put it in the back of your mind now that you have up to $600 to work with. All right. We'll spin the How Smart is Carol wheel, which, of course, is brought to you by the best plumbing services in Edmonton, Todd's Mechanical, providing you with all of your plumbing and heating needs. Edmontonians keep warm and dry with Todd's Mechanical. Call them at 780-499-7598 or find them online at toddsmech.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. And now Todd, of course, has done a bunch of work in our house. And we're very pleased with the work.
Yes, things are looking good in the house.
They are. And we're like a week or two since it all happened and nothing's leaking. So that's great. So we got new sinks. We got, four new sinks? One, two, three, four.
Three bathrooms, kitchen, got a new sump pump.
Right.
The basement is finally dry. I think I've got rid of most of the mildew smell down there. So yeah, things are looking up.
He's done a great job. And okay, so that brings us to your question. Let's spin the How Smart is Carol wheel. I greased the wheel. You see, it's moving a little.
Is it
more efficient?
Okay. Well, need a little bit more WD-40.
Yeah, that has never happened before. So here's the deal: it has stopped between categories.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'll have to fix the wheel. But so I think what we'll do is we will give you a choice of categories, and I know the questions for these two categories. So I will suggest to you that possibly as your friend and fan, you maybe don't want to jump at the first category that makes the most sense to you. But here are the categories. Category one is authors. And category two is Asian geography.
So you're saying don't take the author category.
I'm not. What am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying one of them seems an obvious go for it. And I think maybe the other one, but we'll see.
Can I take them both and double my money?
No, you cannot. Huh. That's not how Jeopardy works, of course. There's no wheel in Jeopardy either.
Exactly. Come on. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to take...
Tell you what. Hang on. Before we do that...
No, I shouldn't say that because
okay. You get the first one right.
Yeah.
I'll give you the second one. but you're risking money again.
Okay, is that a different wager, or is that an all-in? Is it an all or nothing?
Sometimes we have double dick.
Double dick.
This you're actually shaking.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
The money doesn't exist anyway. So listen.
What?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Okay, well.
No.
Neither does the segment. Apparently.
I'm kidding. okay, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick, obviously.
Authors.
I know. I'm a big reader.
I know you are.
Okay.
All right. In the category of authors.
Okay.
You've written down your wager?
Yeah, just can I get to that?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, okay. In 1937, his sister said he had hats of every description, which he would use as a foundation of his next book. All right, our returning champion at $600.
Okay, first of all, I'm not sure why you tried to turn me against this topic.
Okay.
Subject? Category?
There is a reason.
Oh, so it's not the obvious. Oh, fuck.
In 1937, mm-hmm. his sister said he had hats of every description, mm-hmm. which he would use as a foundation of his next book. Carol, what did you answer?
I said, who is Dr. Seuss?
You are correct.
Woohoo!
And how much did you wager?
$600.
Which doubles your total to $1,200. The reason I thought you might not want to just jump on this.
Okay, why?
It is a very unique question. It's only happened a handful of times. All three contestants got it wrong.
For this question?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. All I thought that, three.
I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. Like, it even says hats. So you got to think.
Sometimes limited knowledge is a great thing. Like, sometimes you can be too smart. Like, you know, you just picture these chess-playing PhDs going, well, I bet you it was Hemsworth. You know, like, no, it was Dr. Seuss. All right, well, listen.
Okay, well, now I'm scared because now I got like a nice little chunk of change.
All right, what do you got here? 1,200?
I mean, Asian geography?
You can bet as much as you want or as little as you want, but you're betting real money. Okay. All right.
Real money this time.
Well, that money.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, Asian geography in a double dose Jeopardy.
Can I refuse to do this now?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't want to do it, I'm not going to force you.
You know what? Let's do it for shits and giggles.
All right.
Okay.
Asian geography. It's the only country.
Oh, okay.
What?
I'm sorry. I just.
What?
Well, usually you'll pass me a piece of paper and I can read as you're reading it just because that's how my brain works.
I need
to see the words.
Asian geography. Okay. It's the only country that borders both the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. All right, I gave you a double dose today. You had $1,200 to work with. And the question was, it's the only country that borders both the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. What is that country?
Okay, well, my knowledge of the Middle East there, kind of, I don't have a lot. So
sure.
I went with the obvious of Iran.
Iran is your answer, and it is correct.
Oh.
And you wagered how much?
Just $200.
Which brings you up to $1,400.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's a mystery as to why this happened, but listen to this. This was also a question all three contestants got wrong. It happened on October 12th, 2017. The winner of the final Jeopardy came out on top with a grand total of $1, while his two opponents wound up with $0. But here's what's really crazy. The losers went home with more money than the winner, because according to the show's rules, the contestant with the largest money total at the end of Final Jeopardy goes home with what they won, while the second and third place contestants get consolation prizes of $2,000 and $1,000 respectively.
That's funny. That's
he
really
returned
funny.
And didn't win.
Oh,
so
damn.
His total,
so total winnings, $1.
$1.
But he got to go on Jeopardy, and that's pretty fun.
For sure. This is the longest episode we've ever done. And we're not even done.
It's doubly long today.
Let's not go into that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's tighten it up. You're a chatty Kathy. There's no getting around it.
Okay. You know, I know I am.
Chatty.
But what are you listening for otherwise?
Well, like, I know.
Why don't we just get rid of the chatting altogether? We'll just play music. You know? It's like, hey, we can get this fucker done in 5 minutes.
Well, I just feel like, you know, you add a lot of embellishment to stuff and whatever.
Coming up this summer, August 27th, which I think is Thursday of next week, I'll be at the Piston Brook Brewery in Brooks, Alberta, doing a live show on their patio. It is sold out, so you can't get tickets to it.
Don't know why you're mentioning it then.
Just to, you know, brag that I've got work.
Okay.
And to mention the fact that I got the details for it a couple of days ago, and it was like, yeah, it pays this much money, you stay at this hotel, and the beer is free all night. I'm like, fuck, you had me. You should open with the beer is free all night.
Yeah, that's...
I'm thinking about dragging Hunter down there and staying the night. And typically, I would do a show like that close to home. What was it 4.5 hours?
And drive back.
And drive straight back
again,
getting right?
Free beer.
Free beer all night?
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Fucking right. If you want to hire me for your event, go to andrewgross.com. Or if you want to hire just any comedian, the best are always at callbackent.com. You can go to their website and request a comedian or a public speaker or a magician or whatever the fuck. All right, so, you know, again, I can't believe we're talking politics this late into the show.
Do we have to?
A little bit. So...
But we could hold off, because you know something else is going to happen.
This won't happen.
And we can pack it
in. Yeah, but this won't happen again.
I know.
So this past week, Bill Morneau stepped down from his post as Canada's finance minister and as a member of Parliament for Toronto Centre over the Wii scandal. And back when we were talking about Wii, like 3 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago, and then 1 week ago, and you were like, why are we talking about Wii? And I said to you,
I know, it's ever evolving. Every week,
I know.
There's new developments. I said I get to you,
this is
it.
Bigger than you think. Like, this is going to end up ending someone's career, and it just did. Trudeau had a statement to make on the matter of Bill Morneau stepping down as Canada's finance minister.
All right, chérie, the courtship is over. Oh, the adoration. Oh, the je vous adore. The je t'aime à vous, c'est ma sugar, n'est-ce pas? You are my peanut. I am your brittle.
With everything else that's going down in the United States, with an election coming up in November, and with, you know, Trump, as we mentioned earlier, claiming mail-in ballots are not valid, you know who we haven't heard from? Vladimir Putin.
Oh, no, we have not.
Which is, you know, because, of course, there was that whole accusation that Trump somehow colluded with the Russian government and that they influenced the election. And so you would think that at some point we would be hearing from Vladimir Putin.
I hope it's today.
It is today. Your dreams and wishes have come true. This just in from Vladimir Putin.
Hello, everybody. Hello from Russia to you all. I don't want to be involved in any lawless things in my life, so no harassment, no sexual adult content, please. Something that my mother would approve, okay? Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
That's their national anthem, you know.
I've always liked their anthem.
Me too.
You know, every time you're watching the Olympics?
Yes.
It's just like,
when you hear that anthem.
I like it.
I know. You want to surrender. You just like, you know what? I don't even know who's going
to
win this.
I want to be a comrade.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about Putin.
Putin. I like how you say it.
So I thought I would run it by Kevin and get his thoughts on it.
What does Kevin think?
I like poutine. Some places make better poutine than others. McDonald's poutine is the grossest shit I've ever tried. Some poutine is pretty good, but usually by the time I get to the bottom, I'm like, why the fuck did I order poutine?
And that's what Kevin thinks.
Not exactly what I was looking for, but not wrong.
No, but you know what you shouldn't put on Putin? Sweet sauce.
Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, time for the big blue folder. I got some interesting ones for you.
Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we don't. Listen.
What?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay.
We make time.
All right.
There, some people like listener questions. Some people like the big blue folder. There's different aspects of this that people like.
Oh, okay.
And this is
one of them.
One of them.
Okay.
All right. There's a Facebook group that's all about people taking pictures of themselves while pointing. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Time for the big blue folder.
Mm.
There's a Facebook group that's all about people taking pictures of themselves pointing loaded guns at their penises.
What?
Yep. They say it's all to troll responsible gun owners who would say basic gun safety means you don't put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot, whatever that means. So, of course, Darwinism finally caught up. And a guy in San Diego accidentally shot himself in the junk while he was taking the picture. You know that's got to hurt. He says it went through my scrotum, mattress, box spring, and floor, and he had an entrance and exit wound, but it was only in the hospital for one night. Shot himself in the cock and was only in the hospital for one night.
No, he didn't. He shot himself in the bag.
That's worse.
No. Probably just nicked it too. And you know, men just, oh my God.
Oh, please.
It was probably just grazed it and, you know.
Okay, listen. Normally, I
did he blow a ball off? That's what I want to know. Did he blow a ball off?
I would normally.
Only men would do stupid shit like this. Like, oh, I'm going to shoot my nuts off. Like, only a guy thinks like that. Fuck.
Well, that's because you don't have nuts.
No, but. Women would not be like, oh, I'm going to get on this Facebook trend and I'm going to point a gun at my, you know, cooter. Like, no, come on. Women do not do shit like that.
Look, I would normally agree and I would just let you have this and I would say, yeah, you're right. You know, anytime that somebody touches our nuts, like we complain. But he shot himself in the sack. Like, obviously,
he has no one to blame but himself.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that I don't think he's exaggerating the potential pain. Like, I know.
No, but I'm just saying, if he was only in the hospital for a day, it wasn't obviously major.
That doesn't mean the pain is over. That just means it took a day to plug it. Like, it just.
No, but I'm just saying.
They bandaged it up. They put it in a sling, so whatever you do with a sack. Like, I don't know. Does that go around your neck? Like, I don't even know how that works. I'm just saying. Like, yeah, we get hit in the nuts with a ball or something. It's hilarious, right? It's hilarious. And you're like, oh, don't exaggerate the pain. Well, it's fucking painful. But shooting yourself in the nuts? Come on, man.
Men are stupid.
What's the male equivalent of a Karen? The name Karen is going through a rough patch, of course, these days, because everybody is calling anybody who acts irresponsibly and entitled to be Karen. But they wanted to know what the male equivalent of a Karen was.
Calm down.
But rather than just ask people, because people have been suggesting all kinds of names, Greg, Ken, Keith, that kind of thing, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Here's what they did instead. They went back to the origin of the name Karen, and then they looked at how many people were named Karen over a period of time. One of the reasons Karen is popular as a person of entitlement is that people stop naming their kids Karen, right? Mm-hmm. So they did the same thing with male names to say, okay, so what name peaked at about the same time as Karen, and then that's what we should be calling everybody, and the name? Terry. Mm. So... I don't care if you don't care. I don't listen.
No, I'm just saying I can't see it. See, the two that I heard kind of like ruminating around were Chad and Kyle. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know,
I'd go with Trevor.
Yeah. Oh, Trevor's
Trevor.
Trevor.
Get the car, Trevor.
Don't be such a Trevor. No, right. It's got to be. I don't know.
And I'm the one who just keeps going. All right. The new fad in Hollywood. You're not going to believe this, because with everybody isolating and so on, you got to find things to do. The latest fad in Hollywood is actually kind of a cool one. It's beekeeping. Apparently, a lot of celebrities are into it, including Aaron Paul, Sophia Bush, Jennifer Garner, Morgan Freeman, Leonardo DiCaprio, David Beckham, Chris Hemsworth, Samuel L. Jackson. Beekeeping has picked up during the pandemic, of course, as I say, because people are just stuck at home.
Need some hobbies.
And apparently it's also helping the environment. As one expert puts it, we educate the public that honeybees are safe and that we need them. Bees pollinate one in every three pieces of food that we eat.
I know. I love the bees. And can I just say, you mock my bird sanctuary in the backyard. So we've got a birdhouse that the birdies were in this spring having their babies, and then they vacate and wherever they go. So now some bees have moved into the birdhouse. So I've got, like, I'm doing my own little beekeeping thing, and they're busy bees. There's a lot of them in there too. Like, one day it was just humming when you were banging on the fence. It was like, oh, he's pissed these bees off.
When I was banging on the fence.
Remember, because you were putting up the other birdhouse, so you had to hammer it.
I was banging on the fence, if you know what I mean.
And by that, I mean. Anyway, I love the bees. There's lots in our garden. I quite enjoy it.
Excellent. All right, who do we have to thank?
We want to say that the Big Blue Folder is brought to you by Crystal Glass.
That's right.
And Crystal Glass offers windshield replacement and glass repair services for all types of vehicles, including cars, trucks, vans, and recreational vehicles.
Yep, recreational.
Call 310 Glass or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. And can I just say, they also do screens.
Yes, they do.
And they also do, like, your shower glass. We have a big crack in our shower glass. We should probably get that replaced sometime. Why is this mosquito still? That's not a bee. That's a mosquito. Why is the mosquito still buzzing around?
I don't know.
Or is it stuck in my headphone?
I don't hear a mosquito, so I don't know.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
Okay. We want to thank, of course, Meat Depressed, who sang the song You're a Dick, Purple Planet, who provided our intro, and What Does Kevin Think Music. If you want to support this podcast, we would love that. Go to paypal.me/grossmisconduct. And, of course, we also used MailTime, a clip from Blue's Clues. Now, getting back to paypal.me/grossmisconduct, I said earlier in the podcast that I don't want to be putting out all these asks at the end. So here's my ask. My wife has informed me that there may be a labor disruption in the production of Gross Misconduct. Just threw it out on the porch today, on the deck. That, you know, you're not being compensated fairly or adequately or
at all.
There is, of course, that Jeopardy money, but it just, you know.
Well, you're saying, is that make-believe or is it
no,
real?
No, it's real. It's real. Know. It's just wait until, you know, the just podcast is done and then we figure out how much we owe you, right?
All right.
But I would ask you, folks, how much money do you want to do an episode? $100
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, pick a price.
Okay. Well, this is a lot of, you're putting a lot of pressure on me, just that you just springing this on me.
$100 I'm going to need five.
We'll see. We're going to negotiate.
I'm going to need five people to give me $20. PayPal.me/grossmisconduct. Gross is spelled G-R-O-S-E. I need, apparently, to pay my wife $100 to do this podcast with me.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you do.
And for 28 years, I've been doing it for free. Full-time job. For fucking free.
Yeah, it's true.
And on top of that, you want me to do a podcast. Maddie wants me to do sewing for a clothing line. I mean, it's just like people are constantly asking me for shit.
How much does Maddie pay you?
She buys me stuff every now and then.
Okay, well, I buy you stuff every now and then,
too. No, what do you buy me?
All right, let's not get into it. I'm just saying, I need five of you to give $20 each week. So it doesn't have to be the same five every week, but I need, there's like, we have thousands of listeners, it would be nice. I would say,
ooh, if everybody sent $1.
I know, but then I'll tell you what happens is the six people who actually do it will send $1. Like, we'll end up with $6. I mean, if you want $6 to do this podcast, it's yours. I'm saying five people have to give us $20. All right. The one thing we haven't done is feature one of the comedians who will be appearing at the Ebbets Comedy Festival. I've decided this week Frank Spadone will play us out.
I like Frank Spadone.
We love Frank Spadone. And again, I know that this is really long and you say I just jammer on and jabber on or whatever. But if you're going to ask people for money, you should give them value, right?
Exactly. So speaking of value.
Yes.
Okay. So Frank Spadone is going to play us out.
Yeah.
And we need to remind you, and we should probably do this every episode.
Yeah.
You have to listen to the very end
yes.
of the episode, because there's always good stuff. And you could get some savings
you could.
From Todd's Mechanical.
And I'll tell you right now, with the money you save, if you turn around and give us $20, you'll still be up money. So quickly, I want to tell you.
You're losing money now.
You're losing money now until you listen to the end. And we know that people don't listen to the end, because among the statistics that we get are mm-hmm. consumption.
Yeah.
And lots of people bail in the last minute of the podcast. So they're actually missing.
But you'd be surprised the stuff we throw out.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Yeah.
So.
And there's going to be more surprises.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
So Frank Spadone. So here's the deal. In the before time, I'm flying like Toronto to Vancouver or something like that. I get on the plane. I'm walking down the aisle and I see Frank Spadone. And he's like sitting in a middle seat. And there's this woman sitting beside him in the aisle seat. Now, I Frank Spadone and I are friends, mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, we don't hang out together. He's a Toronto comic. Mm-hmm. I'm an Edmonton comic. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking down the aisle. I'm looking. I'm like, holy fuck, is that Frank Spadone? I'm like, hey, Frank. And he's like, Andrew. He goes, how you doing? I'm like, good. He turns to the woman next to him. And he's like, hey, this is a friend of mine. We're like, would you mind switching seats with him? And she's like, oh, I guess so. And so she goes, well, where are you sitting? So I tell her, oh, I've got a, you know, a window seat over there. And like, so she moves and I sit down. Frank Spadone and I then spend, what, 5 hours
mm-hmm.
laughing and talking and having a grand old time. And then we land and we get up and Frank says, oh, I was being rude. I should introduce you to my wife. And it's the woman he told to move. Can you believe that? Like, he didn't even introduce. Can you imagine if I turned to you on a flight and said, you know, hey, this is
a
friend of mine.
There's something about Frank Spadone. He's so nice.
Yes.
Like, there's just something, the way he puts things
forth. I know.
That it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so I'll do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
He's a great guy. Yeah. I love Frank Spadone. We've had him at the festival before. I'm anxious to have him back again. He's a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy him, an Italian comic. Does that matter? I don't know. He does it.
Italian, Canadian.
He's very funny. All right. So he will play us out.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show? I can't do it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live!
Some of my friends are still single. I think I know what's happening. People are asking the wrong questions, especially with this computerized dating, online dating. People are asking the wrong questions, you know, like, what's your favorite color? Blue? Oh, mine's purple. Oh, my God, that's pretty close. What's your favorite food? Chinese? Me too. Oh, my God, we should get married. But, you know, I mean, I'm married now. I know what it takes to keep a marriage going, a relationship going. I mean, if I was single again, these would be the questions I'd be asking. Yeah. Hi. So, what temperature do you like the thermostat at? Do you sleep on your side of the bed, or do you sleep on an angle and jam your toes up my ass? Are you always right? Yes. You know what question I forgot to ask my wife? If she likes sports. My wife hates sports. I can watch hours of her entertainment, this Canadian Next Top, that American, that this. I can watch extra that. I can watch hours of these shows. And the minute I turn it, come on, I work the weekends. I just want to watch one hockey game on a Tuesday. No, the minute I turn that TV on, there she is in my ear. Oh, here we go. 3 hours of my life down the tubes. And I got to watch this crap. These men smashing up against each other. It's all about violence for you men. Yes, it's all about violence. That's why there's violence in the world. Do you know that? That's why, because you men rule the world. That's right. That's why there's wars, because you men rule the world. You know, if women rule the world, there'd be no wars. Do you know that? If women rule the world, there'd be no wars. No, absolutely. If women rule the world, there'd be no wars. No, just a bunch of jealous countries not talking to each other. It's true.
This episode of Gross Misconduct was brought to you by Todd's Mechanical, available 24 hours a day for your plumbing and furnace needs. Say, bubble, and receive $50 off your next bill. Find them online at toddsmech.com, or call them at 780-499-7598, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.